step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air performance number. Stand by for that, 686. I am Lisa Sheps, and I am joined by my lovely co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello!
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at KOOP.org. Stick with us! I just realized you were hearing lots of other music at that time. Now listen to the show.
Raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Everything you want is right. 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 Here comes your
love. It is Wednesday, September 14th, 2021. On the show today, we have different stages in their show, Shining City, and this is our membership drive here at KOOP. You're going to be hearing this number, 512-472-5667, a lot. Stick with us. There we go. Do you recognize? Oh, first of all, Nicole Shiro.
I don't have headphones, so I...
Nicole Shiro, welcome back.
Lisa Sheps, I'm back with you.
You are back with me. That song was playing through the studio speakers just a moment ago, but you're busy. But I'll tell you what it is.
Tell me what it is.
Muriel's Wedding,
yeah,
the musical.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? I don't know how I feel about that, but you know.
It is interesting. So I want to just put it, let's just, as we say in the corporate world, we're going to put a pin in that.
Let's do that.
Because we're going to talk about what's going on. But before we talk about what's going on, I want to introduce the people that are sitting here in the studio with us. We have Norman Blumensaat. Hi, Norman.
Hi, Lisa.
We have Sam Grimes. Welcome back, Sam.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
And Rick Falcons. Welcome back.
Present.
Awesome. Are you saying that because you brought me a present?
No, you got one though out in the waiting room. So
that's true. But you know what would be a good present? Is if people called in to 512-572-4667 to become a member of Co-op. You can also do it online at koop.org.
How do you do that?
Well, I think you just, you type in koop.org, and then you press that big blue button. And it's just Nicole and I. So I'm very thrilled. Normally at this point, I'd be introducing the pitcher and what show they are. So I'm going to introduce Nicole Shiro.
I'm on Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps. Wednesdays from 1 to 2, we talk about theater, dance, music,
everything.
The arts.
Yep.
If it's offstage and on, and if it's on stage, it's on Offstage and On the Air.
Something like that.
That's
the catchphrase. So we talked a little bit about Muriel's Wedding. Has anybody seen the movie Muriel's Wedding?
Oh, love the movie.
Yeah,
it's like some Toni Collette. Come on now.
There's Toni Collette. I've never seen it. It's an Australian film.
Shame on you.
Shame on you. And so they've made a musical out of it, and it has already played in Australia.
I was like, it played down under.
It did, and supposedly it's got not
they
supposedly,
liked it.
They liked it.
It's they
gonna,
liked it a lot.
It's going to come in town, and if I can ever find the article that I have in here, I can get a little bit more specific. It's going to have a lab tomorrow and the next day, the 14th and 15th. It's going to be directed by Simon Phillips, and it's going to happen at New York City Lab. I think it's kind of interesting. There's like four ABBA songs in it.
Well, I mean, they like the ABBA in Australia as much as they like the ABBA on the cruise ship.
You know, there was no judgment behind
ABBA. Those are facts, and they are not bad facts.
I'm a big fan of the ABBA.
I like the ABBA, too. I don't have an issue.
Muriel's Wedding, unfortunately, you can't really hear the music. They have a cast album, but it's blockaded in this country.
I was like, not allowed here. It's geocached.
You need to have one of those VPNs or something that they advertise
that,
on the podcast.
Or live down under.
Or live down under. That's true. So So we can't be at this moment in history without at least mentioning the passing of Queen Elizabeth II and the ascension of King Charles III. They are indeed, and all the West End theaters are closing for the funeral.
They are. They had a choice. So is the Premier League.
I'd like to go on record as saying that Nicole isn't actually from Britain, even though she sports a British accent today.
Yes.
Are y'all royalty watchers? Anybody?
Yes. Yeah, she's been around forever, and you just can't tear your eyes away from the pomp and pageantry of all of that. They spent a lot of time planning that.
She actually planned her own funeral.
That's
what I want to do.
You mean like Liz Carpenter?
Did Liz Carpenter plan her own funeral?
She rehearsed her funeral.
That does not surprise me.
Yeah, they have rehearsed this before, and they were rehearsing again the other day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, that is absolutely pretty cool.
There's been a lot of historic. I think whether you're a fan or not, there's so much history and different things happening right now that have never happened, and this and that, like Princess Anne standing. That was all new, and there's just a lot of. I don't know. It's interesting. So the next 4 days are mourning, and then there is the funeral on Monday.
Yeah. So I'm not really a royal watcher, but you can't, you know, you can't really ignore it.
No, you really can. It's kind of everywhere.
Yeah. So I'm just going to change the subject since.
But she got a theater named after.
Okay. Yeah. We heard that. So did James Earl Jones.
I know. And that's so exciting. And to be alive and see that happen. That's how it's.
Well, like, that is the. So. Yeah, I'm thrilled about the James Earl Jones Theater.
There's someone is calling 512-472-5667.
Yes, that's true. James Earl Jones Theater was named and is happening, and I'm really thrilled. They had a ceremony that you can see clips on the
social medias. I saw some clips on the news.
Yeah, and you can see them on the social medias. So last week, if you were listening, on the broadcast, not so much on the podcast, but we played a thing from This American Life called 21 Chump Street that was a musical written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who Ira Glass calls Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Does he really?
Uh-huh. Oh. And we mentioned that he was best known for In the Heights because Hamilton hadn't happened yet. It was done in 2014.
Correct.
We had to end it early because we didn't have enough time. So I'm going to play the last 2 minutes of it, which is really just the credits, which are really good. And for those of you listening to the podcast, which you did not get to hear at all because of copyright issues, I feel pretty safe in letting you hear this whole thing because it's really just the credits. So let's just finish off precisely where we cut out last time. We'll be right back when this is over.
What do you think you would say?
I would say, what the heck did you do? What the heck did you do? Naomi, what the heck did you do?
Our cast, Lindsay Mendez as Naomi, Anthony Ramos as Justin, the chorus, Alex Boniello, Gerard Canonico, and Antoine Holly, our narrator, Lin-Manuel Miranda, who also wrote the words and composed the music. If you would like to see what you are missing, you can do that. You can do that right this second. You can download video of this entire show that we're doing today at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. Go to our website, thisamericanlife.org. Like Beyonce, we are dropping the album and all the videos on the same day.
Yeah, so that was that. So y'all got to hear the last little piece of it. So most of you got to hear it. So for my guests who weren't here last week, are y'all familiar with that little thing that happened on This American Life? No?
No.
I was not.
It's really great. It's actually, so I'm a lifelong This American Life listener, and they A listener tour. And they did a whole thing on this sting in a high school for drugs. And that's what this musical was based on. And most of the lyrics were taken verbatim from
the actual sting.
Yep. And written by and put together as a show by Lin-Manuel Miranda. So, as Nicole alluded to earlier, the phone started ringing here at 512-472-5667. Co-op 91.7 is in the middle of our fall pledge drive. Fall, boy, doesn't that sound like a good thing?
It was getting that way when I left the East.
Yep. So so we would love for you to become a member. You can be a sustainer, which is what we like for you to be. So here's something that you should know is that, and this is normally when I do the podcast, I pull much of this pitch out of the podcast, but I'm leaving it in right now because, you know, we have been podcasting this for 15 years almost. You have been listening to this 15 years. There is no reason why you cannot support the kindness of this community radio station, KOOP 91.7 in Austin, Texas, and help support this because we use KOOP's equipment. We record from KOOP's recording. So y'all should go to koop.org. I know you're probably in your pajamas or in your underwear, or maybe you're totally naked at the kitchen sink cooking some eggs. Any way you want it. Go immediately to your computer, type in www, or you don't even have to do that. You could just go koop.org, press that big blue button and donate. Say you're listening to Offstage and On the Air. You want to keep us on the air because you want to support and you want to be as passionate as Nicole and Lisa are about this radio station and this show in particular.
Well, Liz Barrett called in.
I
know.
You know what? I love Liz Barrett. And I love her. You know, even if she didn't call in, I'd still love her.
Yeah, but she did. She called in. That was she was calling.
Liz Barrett. And Liz Barrett, where does Liz Barrett live? Not
Liz
here.
Barrett lives in New York.
Yep. So she's one of those people that is naked in front of the sink cooking eggs.
That's exactly what Liz Barrett is doing.
I can just see that. So thank you, Liz. You you rock my party in more ways than one.
Absolutely.
We love it. So be like Liz. Go to
512-472-5667. For you old school people, that's 512-472-KOOP.
Yep, and KOOP.org. Press the big blue button that says donate now.
It would make us very happy.
It would. Actually, before we get to our guests, I just want to talk about a couple of more things. May we do that?
Yes, we do, because there was a few things you had on here that was like, oh, yay.
Oh, no, we're catching this whole thing throughout the day. We've got it. So the next thing I want to talk about is the New York Times had a very long article, and it is written by Michael Paulson, and the headline is Some Like It Not, Are Men in Dresses Still Funny? And it's talking about the men in dresses trope. And that's coming on the heels of Mrs. Doubtfire and Tootsie on Broadway. And coming up, they're doing, for some unknown reason, I can't imagine why, Some Like It Hot musical, which is, you know, they've already been one of those. It was called Sugar. And then another show, which I was
about to say, what was it called? So thank you for
it was called
me.
Sugar. And then another show that I was not aware of called Ain't No Mo. The main character is a flight attendant played by a man in dresses. So first of all, I just want to talk about the man in a dress trope. And do we still think that's funny?
If it's well done.
You do think it's funny.
Yeah.
Well, I think, it depends on the actor. I mean, Brian Bedford was brilliant as Lady Bracknell. I mean, he looked like he had sour lemon in his mouth the entire time. But, you know, that does take roles away from actresses.
Well, so. I don't know if, that's true. My problem as a trans person is the men in dress trope is it's not the role or the actor or the acting ability. It's the man in a dress that's funny. It's just Milton Berle comes out in a dress and people laugh. He doesn't have to do anything. And some of us, myself including, find that kind of offensive to those of us that live our lives sort of transgressing gender.
I get that. I think it would just depend on the piece. What's interesting enough is also so very interesting that I saw the flip around. Trunchbull, normally in Matilda, is played by a man, and the upcoming movie, it is not. It's played by a woman, and then, I mean, Emma Thompson on top of it, and that set people off. I was like, but I don't get it.
Well, that's exactly my point. They want to laugh at a man in a dress. I mean, take the role out of it. But yeah. I believe they go, you're taking that away from me. I want to laugh at this caricature in a dress. And interestingly enough, Company, which is famously
Elliot. Marianne Elliot, the director?
No. The character.
Bobby.
No, the Company. I didn't mean Company. I meant Chicago.
Roxy
and
Darn it! The reporter.
Who's always Mary Sunshine.
Mary Sunshine. Thank you. played by a man in a dress, and they're getting rid of it. They're talking about getting rid of it.
I was about to say, aren't they in conversation?
Because there's no reason for it, really. I mean, there is the one thing when at the end that actor takes their wig off and they say things aren't always what they seem.
Correct.
That's the punchline for the whole thing. And I personally don't think it's worthwhile. I also want to point out the difference between something like that, the trope of a man in a dress, and drag. Those are two different things.
Mm-hmm. I did want to ask about that because I've done drag a couple of times and I think it's like a really respectful art form because you are being laughed at to a degree. But you're also encouraging the respect for the gender malleability.
Yeah, I think you're being laughed with in that case. That you know, drag is indeed an art form. Typically, it is done by a male-identified person dressing in over-emphasized, very exaggerated.
Unless
female.
You're Toni Collette, Nia Vardalos, and Connie and Carla.
I'm just saying, I said typically, no, I didn't I say just, always.
I was bringing Toni Collette back into it with Muriel's Wedding.
Okay. So, which I didn't see. Gloss on me.
Lisa, doesn't this get back to stereotypes? Stereotypes work, but they're stereotypes. You know, so I mean, the man in a dress is a stereotype, and people will laugh at it because it's a stereotype.
Oh, I disagree. I think they laugh at it because of the social norms about what it is to be a man in a dress. They don't laugh at a woman in male drab.
No,
that's not funny because men in our society are lifted up, so that woman is actually raising her stature, whereas a man that puts on a dress is lowering their stature, and so therefore it's just funny. I believe there are arguments on both sides, and I think there's room for male-identified actors playing female roles, but I think the idea of the Some Like It Hot and the Mrs. Doubtfire and all those are more about, oh, isn't it funny this guy's dressing up in a dress? That being said, J. Harrison Gee, who is a guest on this show, who is in
Some Like It Hot.
I should say this article is written as interviews with a whole bunch of trans and drag performers.
He's done a few really interesting articles.
And he, when they approached him with it, he said no, and then he read the script and he changed his mind. So they say they're trying to update it for a current audience.
I think he's also on the cover of Variety, I think, right now. And I think he talks about it. There's a really great interview I just read online. Mm-hmm. I meant to share it with you and I didn't.
So go to offstageonair.com. There'll be a link to this article in the New York Times. Lots of good pictures, too.
Yes.
So y'all can see that. It's just an interesting, and I really appreciate y'all's weighing in on this. There's actually a lot to talk about. And
indeedy.
We'll continue to talk about it.
Indeed.
Indeed we do. Let's just, because we have to, and then we'll take another break and listen to our guests. But, you know, the Lea Michele thing just keeps coming up.
Oh, my gosh. They're like Rebecca without the actual fire.
It just keeps coming up. But, I mean, this is not really controversy, but it's kind of ironic in a lot of ways. Lea Michele, 2 days after she started the role in Funny Girl, she started having symptoms of COVID. So she stepped out of the show and she tested herself and got COVID and is not coming back in until the 20th.
Yeah, she had to go out for the protocol of 10 days, and Julie Benko is back in.
So she comes back in the 20th, and I, from what I hear about Julie Benko, is like, yeah, bring it on. She's supposed to be
I know,
really
and did you see that she was in that Barry Manilow's Harmony that She's, can't stop. Yep. She was back in a new workshop working with them. And I was like, you go, Julie Benko.
Yeah, well, we'll see. That we've been talking. How many years have we been talking about that show?
I don't know. Forever.
Yeah. And then, interestingly enough, this I didn't... I guess if I'd thought about it, I would have realized it. But this is Lea Michele's first time back on Broadway since Spring Awakening.
I did know that.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. You think as ubiquitous as she is. How do y'all feel about the whole?
Went and had kids. And...
No, you don't know.
What you mean the whole funny girl thing?
Not the funny girl thing. The Lea Michele thing.
Well, I think she got used to that TV money, probably. So she, you know, and when she went back, she wanted a role like Funny Girl.
Oh well, that Funny Girl is.
She's very
role.
Picky.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no question. She's always been that way.
Yeah. Indeed. She's popped up for a few of those Spring Awakening performances and get together. I think she's done like two or three public performances, but she put out an album. She went out a baby.
She did.
She got in a lot of trouble from people for a while.
Yeah, but we'll
she
see.
Got married. I mean, she had a lot of stuff going on.
All right, listen, we're going to take a little break. We're going to come back while we are listening to a word from our sponsors. You can pick up the phone and dial 512-472-5667. Or what's the web address?
KOOP.org.
Great. We will be back in 50.3 seconds. KOOP.org. And I'm once again calling out to my podcast listeners. You've been listening for 14 years. It's time for you to pay the piper.
That's right. Just because this isn't live at the moment doesn't mean you still can't go to koop.org or call.
You know, we don't monetize our podcast. There's there's nothing exchanged here. So you could support us by supporting Co-op by going to koop.org, press the big blue or purple.
Whatever it looks like for
button,
you.
Button. And give us lots of money. As I say on my
curtain
speeches.
Money, as Abba likes to sing.
Exactly.
Yes.
All right. Let's reintroduce our guests here and talk to them about why they're actually here. We have Norman Blumensaat, artistic director and director of this piece. Artistic director of different stages and director of this piece. Hi, Norman.
Hi, Lisa.
And two of the actors in the show, Sam Grimes.
Hi, hello.
Sam. And Rick Felkins.
Hello.
So tell us about the show. It's Shining City, which is done like in the early 2000s, I believe.
Yes. It's a play by Connor McPherson. Did you do any stuff on air about The Girl from the North Country when it was on Broadway?
Oh, of course we did.
Oh, you did. Okay. All right. Well, Connor has written multiple plays and at least a movie that deal with ghosts. So this is a play about a man who comes to a therapist because he has seen the ghost of his dead wife in the house.
Keep seeing her, right?
Well, yes, he's seen her more than once.
Reappearance.
Yeah, so. That's amazing. So it's a ghostly show by Connor McPherson.
Well, it is, and the therapist has his own issues. The therapist is a former Catholic priest,
of course. So. There's more than just the two. I know that the therapist
has encounters with different people, different love or possible sexual relationships with different people.
Yeah, and this appeared on Broadway in 2006 and got a Tony nomination for both Best Play and Best Actor for Oliver Platt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love me some Oliver Platt.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
So, Sam, what do you play? Tell us about your role.
Well, I play Ian, the former priest, just set up shop in downtown Dublin. Just squeaked out my coursework, scraping every penny by and kind of leaning on my girlfriend to help me pay those bills. I've got this third story office
like that. And Rick, what do you play?
I play John. He's a fellow who has recently lost his wife, and she reappears to him.
Is John the only one that can see her?
Yes.
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 That was a very good question, Lisa.
Thank you. And we got kind of a slightly cryptic answer.
Not
in the words they said, but the way they said
it. Yes,
I know. Leads me to want to come see the show to see why they answered it in such a way.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he's also in extraordinary psychological distress because of the way he's taken that event in, and we find out more as we go on about his relationship with his wife and some other relationships, and why he's in this pit of guilt and shame, and so.
And his wife has died in a horrible accident, not unlike Princess Diana.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Yes.
All comes back to the royals.
Tragic.
Yes. Well, y'all are prepared to do a little scene, aren't you?
Yes. Sure, yeah. Sure.
Okay, does that need to be set up in any way?
No, I think it's self-explanatory.
Okay, wonderful. Okay. Well, this is Rick Felkins and Sam Grimes doing a scene from different stages production of Connor McPherson's Shining City.
So, John, how are you?
Not too bad. A bit. I've never been to see someone before.
All right, well, that's okay. I got a letter.
Right.
From Dr. Casey.
Yeah, that's right. There was some guy that he wanted me to see, but we couldn't get an appointment for like 4 months or something.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
And you haven't been sleeping so well, is that right?
Well, yeah.
Which can be very debilitating, I know.
Yeah, and... can I...
Oh, of course, please.
Sorry.
That's fine, that's fine.
You have the tissues ready and everything. I'm recently bereaved, you know. I don't know if Dr. Casey...
Mm-hmm.
My wife passed away a few months ago, and she died in horrible circumstances, really, you know.
Okay.
She was in a taxi, and a stolen car crashed into them, and she was... trapped in the car. It was a horrific crash, and she couldn't survive. And I was on my... I was too late getting to the hospital, and the reality of it, it's been absolutely... I mean, really now, you know?
I can only imagine what...
We have no children, and I've been on my own an awful lot, you know. Like, I've really been on my own an awful lot of the time, really, you know.
Okay.
And I don't... I mean, I don't even know where she was that night, you know, or where she was coming from. Do you know what I mean, you know? Like, we weren't even communicating at the time. Do you understand me?
Okay.
And no one else was injured, and I've no idea. But I've seen her.
Sorry, you've seen her.
I've seen her in the house. She's been in the house.
You've
yeah.
This is
yeah.
Since she. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. No. She. About 2 months ago, you know, I met up with my brother. I have a brother, Jim, and we met up one evening for a pint in Clontarf Castle. We're just going into this? I mean, you just...
Oh, my gosh. That's like a cliffhanger ending.
Yeah. Oh, God, my heart is bleeding.
Yeah. There's a lot that happens after
yeah.
that.
So, well, one unpack. Would assume. So this, I'm guessing this isn't a check your brains at the door comedy.
There's an awful lot of comedy in it, but it's not sure. a check your brains at the door comedy.
Right, this is not slapstick. Well, it's a sound, when neither is Conor McPherson known for slapstick comedy.
No, not really.
No, but there's
something intriguing. There's
a phenomenal amount of comedy. So.
Yes, well, and in any, yeah, of course,
yeah.
One would assume. Okay, I don't think you could have any show. Well, I guess. I don't know. There's a lot of laughs in Long Day's Journey in Tonight,
yeah,
for instance.
Like, yeah.
Eugene O'Neill wasn't known for his one-liners.
No.
Well, God, that sounds exciting. So where are y'all in the process right now?
We open a week from Friday.
Ah.
And we'll be at the Trinity Street Playhouse up on the fourth floor of the 9th and Trinity.
Yep. I do love the Trinity Street Playhouse.
Love
and,
that little
you know,
venue.
Folks get a little nervous because it's downtown. They think parking is going to be difficult, but it's not.
Not at all.
No.
No.
Lots of spaces.
Yeah. It's a charming little theater. And we're actually going to talk about... oh, no, we're not. Never mind. Forget that.
Just another time, another place.
We'll talk
place.
About that some other time. Well, awesome. And Norman, why this show? Why now for different stages?
I've been wanting to do this play forever. And we were 2 weeks from opening when the pandemic happened. So, you know, both this and Heartbreak House are the pandemic plays, which finally we're doing.
Wonderful.
You know, and the
it
irony
feels
is,
good, doesn't it?
Well, it does. But the irony is that Heartbreak House was scheduled after Shining City, but they're actually being done reversed. And this is, you know, this is almost 2.5 years since we started working on Shining City.
So is this the same cast that you had 2.5 years ago?
Half of the same
half.
Cast.
Awesome.
Yes.
Well, that's good. That's really good.
We started to work on it again, and then another variant came in, and we got shut down again.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
So it's been in our heads for quite a while, so it would be nice to serve it up for the public.
Absolutely. And tell me once again, when y'all open, when you close?
We open on the 23rd, and we close on Sunday, October 9th.
Great. And it is indeed at the Trinity Street Playhouse at the First Baptist Church. They say it's on the fourth floor, but I think we enter on the second floor. So if you walk it's only two flights.
Yeah.
It's a brief elevator trip.
And a brief elevator trip. One of the two things.
That's called options.
It is. It's options. Well, thank y'all so much for being on Offstage and on the Air.
Very exciting.
And now what number are you going to call as soon as you leave here to make a... donation to this station?
472-KOOP.
There you go. 512-472-5667. Sam wins.
If your phone's not working, you could also go online at koop.org.
And if your computer's not working, you can go on your phone and go 512-472-5667.
Exactly.
So many things. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Yes, yes.
I was gonna play. you're gonna correct me, so don't yet. I was gonna play Shining City from Godspell coming out of this, but it's not Shining City. It's Marvelous City. What is it? What's the song? We will build. Whatever that city.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not Shining.
Beautiful.
So. So instead, I am gonna play. I'm Out of Here from Ghost.
Oh, okay.
We'll be right. We will be right back.
My mama's always saying the meek.
Some of the stuff that
theater
we're
news.
About. Well, I want to talk about some local stuff.
Yes.
So first off, they just named a new artistic director for St. Ed's Mary Moody Northern Theater. Because that has been actually empty for a while. Bob Tolero, who's been on the show a million times, was acting as artistic director. But they've finally, after a long search, have
found a person.
Yes, Anna Skidda Vargas. She is the new artistic director, and she has been on this show before.
Yes, she has.
Congratulations to her, and congratulations to Mary Moody Northern Theater.
Indeed.
You know, I was just talking to Susan Branchtown, and she's talking about the changes that are going on there at St. Ed's, and she is so excited about the future
That's
of that
really
organization.
Cool. It's a great organization. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed everything I've seen there. I love the program and the way they work the students in with professional theater. I think it's what we like to say, spectacular.
And it's a wonderful theater. And if you haven't been out there, I would encourage you to take a trip out there. It's Theater in the Round, which is the only theater in the round, permanent theater in the round, here in Austin, other than the it's not the Wizen Hunt, it's the
Wizen Hunt.
It is the Wizen Hunt.
You are correct on that.
I always get them mixed up.
Yep.
Little Theater in the Round over at Zach, which is a marvelous little.
Yeah, they're two totally different experiences, and it's just so, seeing something in the round is just so cool.
Yeah. So other things that are playing currently are Edit Annie, who we had on the show here, I think last week or the week before, at the Vortex. The Fantastics is in their final weekend at City Theater. It is at the, what we just talked about, at Trinity Street
yes.
Theater. The Virgin Trial from Alchemy Theater over at the Master George. And we talked about this briefly. Romeo and Katrina, Color Arcs, having a reading. I think it's tomorrow or the next day over at the Asian American Cultural Center. Murders in Moon Towers, my Texas Comedies over at the Dougherty. And, of course, the last weekend to see Tick, Tick, Boom from Bohemian Theatricals over at Ground Floor Theater is happening. Macbeth. The Archive Theater out at the, I keep forgetting what it's called and I didn't write it down.
Oh, Pioneer Farms?
Pioneer right? Farms. Thank you. God, thank God you were here. So that's going on right now. We have a few things that are coming up in the very near future, which we'll talk about in weeks to come. So that's what's happening. And now we have to go to Today in Theater History.
Today in Theater History.
And I think we need to do a writing campaign, because I've mentioned this on the show. I mentioned it with Aunt Ciccolella here.
That they recycle too much?
Nope. You know, I've always plagiarized my Today in Theater History by just pulling it directly from playbill.com, and they don't do it anymore. They haven't done it for several months.
No.
So they had so much information. And please, I know that the folks over at playbill.com listen to this show. Please bring back Today in Theater History.
I've been having a conversation with one of the editors. I will ask him about it.
Please, please tell him.
I honestly will ask him about it. Mm-hmm.
But so what I was able to pull from some of the things, beginning previews tonight, is Leopoldstadt, which looks interesting. We've talked about this on the show before.
There's been a lot of anticipation.
Mm-hmm. Back in 1972, that championship season, in 1951, Mae West starred in Diamond Lil. And I think we played some stuff from Diamond Lil on the show before.
Do you think this generation knows who Mae West is?
Oh, I think they do.
I would hope so.
I know.
It's like,
you know how to whistle, don't you?
Ah.
Birthdays. Kay Medford, Harv Presnell, Nicole Williamson, and, oh, hold on, I'm trying to turn the page. It's not that easy.
There's more people.
Zoe Caldwell, Lawrence Hamilton, and there's something in the way of that. Edmund Engel, born in 1910. Hmm. But also, and this is, I didn't realize this, opening in 1989... The Demon Barber Fleet Street himself, Sweeney Todd.
Ah, oh, the Sweeney Todd.
Yep. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Why do I feel like it was before 89?
I don't know. I do too, but it's not.
No.
Let's listen to a little bit of that, and then we'll come back.
Okay.
While this is playing, dial 512-472-5667, KOOP.org. We'll be right back.
Nothing's gonna harm you. Not
we
so
are back. That song, no one's... oh, boy, what's it called? Well, I don't forget the title. Not While I'm Around. Oh, you've moved over to a different microphone.
Not While I'm Around.
Yes, that was actually where I pulled that little sound clip from. It's from the beginning of that number. The dialogue that leads into it.
Yeah, it was very clever of you.
I'm very clever. So 512-472-5667. We are so very close to our goal of 400. And I do have
almost.
I have to say that this is a really slow time for Membership Drive historically. So I really appreciate those that have called in, our anonymous caller, our Liz, and ooh, what was her name?
Amnity.
Applegate. Yes, thank you all. We're looking for, let's just try to get a couple more callers at any level to come in the next 10 minutes.
Let's hear the phone ring.
Yes, 512-472-5667. We want our phone answers.
Give us a jingle.
To work hard.
Indeed.
Yeah.
They're friendly. You get to talk to some of these other people we work with that we talk about how cool they are.
So there's a couple things I want to talk about before we go that I know that you're going to love.
Yes.
Because, you know, we this sort of actually takes into two of Offstage and On the Air's normal tropes. And that is, of course, a full-size regulation boxing ring. And Rocky Das Musical.
Rocky Das Musical.
So the full-size boxing ring is in honor of the new musical about Muhammad Ali.
I know.
Written and directed by Clint Dreyer with music by Teddy Abrams. There is going to be a pre-Broadway tryout and cast that will be announced sometime in the future.
I was like, well, who's the cast? But they're keeping us in suspense.
Keeping us in suspense. And what's interesting, I was just listening to
Watching boxing and fight choreography on stage is just fantastic.
Right, because you saw Rocky the Musical.
I did. I was recently online watching the whole fight choreography video, which was really cool.
Yeah, I remember seeing it. It's pretty
It's really
amazing.
Just, it's so much work. It's really fantastic. So yeah. I can't wait to see with a true legend like Muhammad Ali. That's pretty cool.
But one of the podcasts I listened to, The Daily from the New York Times, was talking about Serena Williams.
Yes.
And
did you
how
watch
she
any
is,
of that?
Not really. Oh. I saw the things that were on the news. But how she is rightly called the GOAT, the greatest of all time. And this particular journalist that was talking on the show said there's two. There's the GOAT, Serena Williams, and of course the greatest, Muhammad Ali. And I just, the thing about, and what he says about both of those athletes is that they are not, it's not that they're great athletes, which they are, but they're great in everything else too. So to be the greatest has got to be more than that sport or that thing that you do. It's the whole
picture. In your person.
Yeah.
It's your jam.
So I'm guessing that the Ali musical is something you would want to see.
Yeah, I actually would.
Okay. And the other thing that has to do with Rocky Das Musical is Hamilton Das Musical.
I saw Hamilton Das Musical. And
so there is a very long article. Very long. You know, we're so spoiled these days. There's a longish article in the New York Times written again by Michael Paulson about translating. This is the first time Hamilton's been translated into another language, and it's translated into German. They've been working for the last 4 years. A whole team of them have been working on the German version. They're in rehearsals right now. Previews are going to begin September 24th. The opening is October 6th in Hamburg. And here's an interesting fact.
Where?
Hamburg. here's an interesting fact. So thinking about the world and musical theater, what do you think the four biggest cities of musical theater are?
For
all the world.
Tokyo.
Oh, give me the four. I'll tell you if you're right or
Sydney.
Wrong.
Sydney.
Yep. I mean, not yep. Go.
Hamburg and London.
New York, Los Angeles, London, and Hamburg.
Oh, I didn't know the U.S. was, I was able to use
that.
The
U.S. is part of the world.
I know, but I thought it meant outside the U.S. Or
yeah,
I
but I mean,
them.
Of all the world, I had no idea that Hamburg was so big in musical
yes,
theater.
Yes,
and it's not the city that you necessarily think of if you're going to Germany. You're going to go to Berlin, or you're going to go to Munich, you're going to Frankfurt. You don't normally necessarily think, or at least I don't, of Hamburg.
It's Hamburg.
It is Hamburg. I'm sorry. It's the third biggest after New York and London. Hmm. I guess I made Los Angeles up. But they had a lot of really good shows, Lion King, Frozen. Kinky Boots did not do very well there. So it depends on, I guess, you got to figure out the formula.
Yeah, but that's, you could say the same thing too with things in the West End versus mm-hmm. New York. Things do, you know, American Psycho, yep. Loved in the West End, not so much here.
Here's an interesting thing, and I got to go fast because we're already running out of time. They started by sending a whole bunch of translators some stuff to translate and sent back, and they didn't like any of it. And then they finally chose two. They said, we want you two to work together. And I have to see how they, hopefully I underlined this. But one was like a real pragmatic words
oil
person.
And vinegar.
And the other one was like a hip hop artist from some of that new German. And evidently, it's just amazing. And I would encourage you to read this article. There's a lots of really specifics about how they worked with Lin-Manuel Miranda and Andy Blankenbuehler. That's hard to say. And even, who's the choreographer?
Andy Blankenbuehler.
Oh, Andy Blankenbuehler. Who's the anyway, him. Really great article, and it really makes me want to see it in Hamburg. All right, we're gonna that's gonna be it. Let me just see if there's anything else that I want to just highlight here really quick. The Music Man is ending their run on January 1st due to the exit of the two stars. They don't think they can go any further.
Not surprised.
Very quickly, I know we really wanted to talk to that about this, but Mr. Saturday Night is going to have a Broadway HD appearance, which I know that makes you very happy.
I am so happy about this, the Billy Crystal and Shoshana Bean, and they haven't given the dates yet, but they've said it's going to happen because it just closed September 4th on Broadway.
True. I also very, very, very quickly, we really don't have time to even discuss it all, but Victory Gardens. That has been in the news for so long.
Again.
The remaining staff, which wasn't many, was trying to unionize through IA because this has been a board versus staff, and most people side with the staff.
Through IATSE, wasn't it? A big IATSE
through IA,
contract.
Local mm-hmm. 2. So what the board did was they fired everybody. And they said they're going to stop producing.
I was like, and they're no longer producing. And did you notice the no longer producing came out, like, trickled out just a hair? But I was like,
Yep, I know. So you can read those articles by going to offstageonair.com and clicking on the links. I want to encourage folks, we're just so close to that $400 hourly goal. Please dial 512-472-5667 or go to koop.org. We want you to have... So we're going to say goodbye to you, and we're going to go out with All Little Boys Should Be Grateful from Great Expectations. John Hoffner is coming back up.
Woo!
And we will see y'all next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, folks.
Ciao.
All little boys should be grateful. No little boys ever are. They all possess a vicious streak, but nothing that a pinch or tweak can't rectify within a week.